It's that time in Spain where we listen to Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. How are you doing, Bill?
Hi, Howard. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Now, we're going to talk about taxation in Spain for this year. We're almost a quarter of the way through the year, but we don't really know what tax rates that Spanish taxpayers and us will be paying this year, do we?
No, unfortunately, we don't. I mean, I'm sure everyone knows by now that the Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, has dissolved the Spanish Parliament and called for a general election to be held on the 28th of April. This is because the government failed to approve the 2019 state budget, which was drafted some months ago, back in the rear end of 2018, after the Catalan nationalist parties withdrew their support to the minority socialist government. Now, that means, under the law, that the 2018 general budget will remain in place until the new one is approved, which could take a while, depending on the outcome, of course, of these forthcoming elections. So you need to bear in mind that, given the current political situation in Spain, it is highly likely, in my opinion, that the results of the election on the 28th will lead to a fragmented parliament, and therefore it's possible that the new Spanish government formation will take some time, and as happened recently in previous elections, leaving Spain in a kind of a state of political limbo for some time. Now, that the situation that we're in because of this suspension of the government and the call for an election, that affects a lot of other draft laws that the socialist government had pending, waiting to be introduced, like a preliminary bill which was announced by the government to introduce measures to prevent and fight against tax fraud in Spain, announced back last October. But, you know, there's nothing to suggest that these things won't eventually come into being. But, of course, at the moment, with this limbo in place, the 2018 budget and any of these new law proposals will have to wait until there's a government with sufficient power to push through the budget for the following year. I imagine when they get to do that, that the tax rates will apply as from the 1st of January this year, and there'll be some retrospective taxation to pay. But we shall have to wait and to see what the election brings.
Well, you say that, Bill, but I can tell you my social security payment went up in January to €288 a month. But moving on, right. Did the proposed budget include any key tax changes?
The budget that failed had been debated for a couple of months without this agreement being reached. And so, as I say, the budget for 2018, which was in place at the time of these discussions about 2019, has been extended until the new budget is approved. On the tax changes front, there were some changes. The draft budget, the one that has been unapproved, included a couple of additional tax brackets for income tax on your general income, so that if you had income at the higher levels between 130 and 300,000, there was an additional 2% tax, taking the maximum rate to 39%. And if you were fortunate enough to be earning more than 300,000, then there was an additional 4%, taking the top rate of tax to 49%. That is a very pernicious high rate of tax. In addition to that, it was proposed that a new 27% tax rate was going to be proposed on income from savings that exceeded €140,000. The current applicable state wealth tax rate for taxpayers with assets over about €10.5 million is also going to be increased by an extra 1%, and that results for people with wealth at the high end of the wealth scale, over €10.5 million, the maximum rate of 3.5% will be reached. So that's a fairly substantial rate of tax on these high net worth individuals. And that's proposed now to be an indefinite tax, as opposed to one that has continuously been extended on a year-by-year basis. It's always been promised that it's only for a year, it's only for another year, it's only for another year. Well, it's because it's also entrenched. The bill was proposing that this new wealth tax would be a permanent part of the Spanish tax regime.
Well, it gets a bit complicated, Bill, doesn't it? Because income and wealth tax rates are made up of two parts, the national rate plus the rate for the autonomous communities. And many local governments have approved their budgets for this year. So let's have a look at some of the regions where our listeners are. Let's start with Murcia. Are there any localised tax changes for 2019?
It must be off-putting to anyone who wishes to be a tax expert in Spain. The business of Levis Franks has always been to understand all of the various implications of tax in Spain. But you're quite right, Howard. The state impose a tax burden, and then the regions have some liberality over how they also impose an additional tax as well. Murcia has always been one of the less taxed regions, shall we say. Indeed, on this occasion, the regional government has approved its 2019 budget, despite what has happened at the state level. And they've approved a reduction in Murcia from the 1st of January this year, which means that on income up to about 12,450, the maximum tax rate will be 9.9%. And for income over 60,000 euros, it goes up to 23.3%. But of course, they need to be added to the state rates once they're all known to know exactly what your full rate of tax will be. And the reduction that Murcia announced actually is a progressive reduction over the next next few tax years up to 2022. And with these announcements and the current rates, the regional ministers have confirmed that Murcia will become the region with the lowest income tax rates in Spain. So if you're living in Murcia, you're living in a much better tax environment than perhaps if you lived in another part of Spain.
Felicidades, as they would say. Moving on to the Comunidad Valenciana, Bill, what about our listeners on the Costa Blanca?
Yeah, in the Comunidad Valenciana, the local government has also approved its regional budget for 2019. It's been approved, but there weren't any relevant, you know, tax law changes that would effectively impose themselves upon the sort of expatriates who live in that region. So that really that's a sort of standstill for 2019. The wealth tax rates in Valencia are still there from about a quarter of 1% for wealth up to 167,000 euros, and then it rises to just over 3% for wealth over 10.5 million, which is, again, quite a pernicious rate of tax. You know, when you consider, I don't carry a candle necessarily for apologising for high wealthy people, of course, but the truth is that they meet very high rates of tax on income and gains, and because of the accumulated value of their wealth, another 3.5% is added as an annual charge. You could effectively add that to the income tax rates and bring their tax rates up to somewhere around 53-54%. It is a very high tax economy, Spain, if you're a wealthy individual.
Yeah. And moving on to Andalusia, then, any changes for local taxpayers here?
In Andalusia, like all the other regions, the beginning of a tax year is the same as the same tax year is the same as the calendar year. Unfortunately, the political situation in Andalusia means that we don't yet know what tax rates people in Andalusia will be paying this year for sure. We're also still waiting for the Andalusian government to provide details of what it proposed as a new regional relief for succession and gift tax. And hopefully that will come through once the political situation in Spain post-April the 28th is resolved.
Yeah. And what about, finally, our listeners on the Balearics? What can they expect with their tax changes regionally?
Well, those wonderful islands in the Balearics, of course, also have an autonomous regional government, and they have the power to amend the regional part of the income and wealth tax rates and the reliefs as well as to adjust the succession and gift tax reliefs and rules as they do in every one of the other regions. Now, in the Balearics, the 2019 budget hasn't actually introduced any relevant new tax rates or rules for the year, which means that the local income tax rates for 2019 on general income will range from about 9.5% on income over 10,000 euros up to about 22.5% for income over 175. And then, of course, you have to add the state rates to that regional. The wealth tax rates remain the same, rising up to 3.45%. And there are no changes to the succession tax regime for 2019. And none were included, funnily enough, in the draft budget statement when it was announced. So it appears that even at the moment, the situation in the Balearics will remain fairly similar to that that existed in 2018.
And finally, Bill, is there any other tax news for Spain for 2019?
I don't think there's anything of major significance that's worth reporting on right now. But of course, what will happen is that within a few weeks, we will have a general election which will bring about some form of government. We wait to see quite how difficult it will be to form some sort of coalition between the various parties, if that's necessary. And at the end of the day, they will then have to come to the country with some form of budget to make sure that the economy can sustain itself. And at that point in time, perhaps we can come back again and talk about what is being introduced at that time and what this deferral of the budget has actually meant for individuals. By the time the 2019 budget is introduced, there will be some consequences, because I'm pretty confident that some of the increases which were expected to be proposed will continue to be proposed and may be backdated until the 1st of January. So there may be some catch-up, some arrears of tax to catch up on at the time of that budget. The most important thing is, of course, is to try to maintain your relationship with someone like Blevins Franks, who have their ear to the ground on these things, and Spanish legal and tax specialists listening to the whispers doing the rounds. So if you are concerned about what the Spanish budget may bring, or any of these tax changes may bring to your own personal affairs, Blevins Franks is a great source of reference.
And of course, your website is a great place to start.
I think it's an excellent place to start, because it gives you so much information on the background of the business and of what it does for individual clients. And of course, all the office addresses of the personalities involved in the business are included on that website, to try to encourage you to contact the office. And if you wish to do that, www.blevinsfranks.com has all of the contact details within the website. And of course, the offices closest to where you are would be very pleased to hear from you.
A pleasure always, Bill. We'll talk in Spain at the same time next week. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Have a great week.